I'll tell you what, you stumbled into a podcast. It's Binge Watchers Podcast with yours truly, Johnny Spoiler. I'm only here to spoil the movies I love. Joined as always by the Savage Scream Queen herself, except no substitutes, is Jordan Savage. She was fluffing her brows before we hit record. I didn't know what that meant. I had to ask. And now she can explain it to the audience.
You know,
I found a way to fit it in.
Yes, all of you natural brow ladies or gents probably know what I'm talking
them
about
when brows.
when you got some thick brows. Mine aren't even that thick, but I want them to be. But sometimes you gotta just for
gotta
those who are listening,
the style
yeah,
of the brow.
And exactly, you gotta just give them a good fluff. So
I got pretty thick brows myself, but usually I just get these wild deep thought hairs. So when you have deep thoughts, they just spring out of your eyebrows.
I love
that. You literally push the thoughts through your eyebrows, and then you have these wild Cro-Magnon hairs. You just got to, like, you know, clip them.
Rip them out.
What was your recommendation for a kitty cereal?
Yeah, it sounded like a cereal, Fluffin' Brows. I don't know why.
Fluffin' Brows.
Fluffin'
Brows.
From
General Mills and Post Cereal. Fluffin' Brows. And then I literally thought, it's a bowl of hair. That she's just talking about eating some hair. And I thought, well, yeah, pour some milk in a bowl of hair, fluff and brows.
I don't know why. I just envision a parakeet with, like, massive eyebrows.
You gave me a great idea for an Instagram reel. That's such an easy video. We have the production value to make a fake cereal commercial of fluff and brows, and it is a bowl of hair. Guys, look forward to that, because I don't get lazy. I'll do some production value, and we'll make a video.
I did a pretty good Spirit of Halloween costume for Podcast Guy for you.
Yeah.
Like, that was design.
Came
work
off slightly
was
entitled whiteness, kind of like
what?
Questioning if it was a ghost or perhaps just something that happens on a Thursday night. And, you know, I was going Southern with it. It's basically what I was really making you turn different shades of color for awkwardness.
Okay.
No, she had a ghostie and it looked like the Pac-Man ghost, but with sunglasses. It was cool. I accepted it. It was fun. Now she's offended. She's pissed at me. Let's just get Jordan pissed right
top
at the
tier,
beginning.
Top
in
tier
the first 3 minutes.
Artwork.
Oh man.
Last time I do something for you. But I'm kidding.
Snaps. She snapped me and then I'll pour the schnapps and I'll feel better.
There you go.
Actually, I'm kind of bummed out because, like, we had brought this up a while ago. So there's a Ron Howard movie from the 80s. It's a fantasy movie. It's called Willow. It's one of the most classic, best fantasy things, whatever. There's a tiny wizard who fights an evil sorceress with the help of even smaller dudes called brownies that ride on his shoulder. And then there's a crazy sword fighter played by Val Kilmer called Mad Mardigan. And they, you know, they protect a baby who's like a prophesized princess or something who's going to stop the bad magic or whatever. But they finally made a sequel, they finally made Willow 2, but as a TV show on Disney Plus. Disney Plus ripped down the whole show. Like, you can't get it. It's gone. And, I mean, I've seen, like, bootleg pirate selling people from, like, the UK selling, you know, bootleg DVDs or something. I'm sure it's a BitTorrent somewhere, but Disney Plus is pretty good about pulling things down. But what I don't understand is they could have put together, like, a killer DVD release, especially for the holidays. They could have cooked out Willow the show. What's interesting is, like, Warwick Davis is, like, a super famous little person actor, right? And he's been in the Star Wars. He was, like, the most famous Ewok from Return of the Jedi. Like, he's been acting since he was a kid, literally. Like, he was an Ewok, you know? And then, like, he gets in Willow, and he's, like, the main star. And now and then finally, much years later, after he does, like, the Leprechaun horror movies, because he's the evil Leprechaun in, like, the first three Leprechauners or whatever, or first five. Maybe it's the first five movies. There's, like, seven movies now or something. Let me think. Yeah, they did, like, no, they did four Leprechauns with him, including Leprechaun 4, he goes to space. Then there were two, he's in the hood, so he's fighting gangsters and pimps for two movies. So that's six movies, right? So wait, we got six movies. And then they did, like, a prequel and a spinoff. that have that's supposed to be the same leprechaun, but it's not Warwick Davis, right? Anyway, so I'm just trying to paint this picture of like Warwick Davis is like a cool dude. He's been around a while. He's got a lot of clout. But then they pulled Willow 2 down. And like it's sad because his daughter Annabelle Davis is in it, playing his like playing Willow's daughter, right? Like the character Willow has a daughter. Mm-hmm. So Warwick Davis, you know, real daughter got to be in it. And then we get introduced to a couple new characters. Amar Chadha Patel plays this guy named Borman, who's kind of like a replacement for Val Kilmer's character, Mad Morgan, because Val Kilmer, because of medical reasons, wasn't in Willow 2, right? Which is, I mean, that's probably the biggest letdown is the fact that Val Kilmer couldn't show up for it, but they like popped in Christian Slater does a cameo. And then in the newer Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland, there's like a funny Flash Thompson played by this guy, Tony Revolori, I think is his last name. If I'm butchering the last name again, you know, it's a podcast apology as always if we can't handle the last name. But he plays a kid called Graydon, who's like a prince that wants to be a wizard. And he's kind of an interesting backstory to his character because, like, there's some evil magic that worked him over when he was a kid. And, like, spoiler alert, his twin actually dies in Willow 2 or whatever, like his twin brother. And, but then, like, when Willow's training, like, Allura Danon, and Allura Danon is the baby from the first one, but now she's, like, grown up and, like, learning how to do the magic and try to live into the so-called prophecy, right? Like, that part's really cool. Now, did I harp on it when it came out? Yeah, I kind of had some negative things to say. Now, here's the whole point of this long story, this whole intro to the podcast is, like, do I want to watch it because it's not available, or do I actually like it enough that I want to play it on repeat? Because part of me thinks Disney is engineering us the desire to see it because they took it away, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah. Oh, we got low numbers on Disney Plus. We're going to hack apart our catalog and we'll give you all this stuff and all this stuff over here, but we're not going to give you Willow 2. But I'm like, but are they holding back to do something with Willow 2 and none of us are thinking about it, but then we're going to be like, oh man, I really need to see that Willow 2, you know? Mm-hmm.
The puppeteering, like, it's possible.
Like some kind of social engineering, but for movie fans or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
You know where I'm going with that?
I know where you're going with it.
All right.
Yeah.
This episode's not about Willow 2 anyway. All right, home video headlines. What's going on in televisions and movies stuff? Let's see. Actually, we'll be right back after our theme song, and then I'll tell you what's going on in home video headline land. I'm just thinking about cereal filled with hair.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
Okay. Okay, home video headlines. Let's see what's going on. There's a new Karate Kid movie that's going to unite Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio. Of course, Ralph Macchio plays Daniel LaRusso in the original Karate Kid movies. And also, he was in that hyped up show Cobra Kai on Netflix for like, what are they, on the fifth season or something? And Johnny Lawrence, the other main star of the show, is because the show did something really cool. They turned an internet meme into an actual show, which is kind of a cool progression of like Karate Kid, because they're like, oh, Johnny Lawrence is the villain, but then there was a meme online for like what, 5 years or something, where it's like, oh, Johnny Lawrence is the real hero of Karate Kid, and people are like, what are you talking about, isn't he just a bully, like a one-off bully from the first movie? And then like all of a sudden he's this complicated layered anti-hero or something, you know what I mean, like in Cobra Kai for a few seasons. But however, in the meantime, between the original ending of, like, Karate Kid 3, it's after the next Karate Kid, where Mr. Miyagi, who's played by a comedian named Pat Morita, like, Pat Morita was in a sequel to Karate Kid, which would have been Karate Kid number 4, but it's Hilary Swank is the Karate Kid, right, in part 4. That's in, like, the 90s or something. So then, Hilary Swank's training to be a Karate Kid. After that movie, but before Cobra Kai, is a Karate Kid reboot, and you think it's like in its own universe, has nothing to do with Karate Kid, like the original Karate Kid. And it's got Mr. Han, who's like another Kung Fu master training Jaden Smith, you know, Will Smith's kid, to be a Kung Fu fighter in a tournament in China, where it's, and it's a good story too, because that little kid and his mom, like his mom's like an American that gets like a marketing job or something. And she has to go to Asia where the headquarters is, or she's working for some corporation. I don't know if you saw that movie, but there was one of those Will Smith style music videos, right?
Mm-hmm. With Jaden Smith
when the movie came out. I forget what the tagline was, but it was like one of those like get jiggy with it, whip your hair back and forth. It was like a very Will Smith like stamp that, you know, made a song for Jaden Smith or whatever, right? It has something to do with kicking, I think. Anyway. That Karate Kid was like pretty dramatic. Like how the Cobra Kai show is like a little bit more serious in tone with some comic relief. The Karate Kid with Jaden Smith is like a pretty serious movie, right? However, because Jackie Chan's not actually playing Mr. Miyagi, in theory, that movie could have taken place in like the main Cobra Kai Karate Kid universe, right? So I'm like, oh man, they're gonna like fold that movie into the main show. But I'm still holding out for Hilary Swank to show up on Cobra Kai. Like that's where the show needs to go anyway. See, like we're not here to talk about Karate Kid. I'm sorry.
That's I feel all like you're getting for watching you talk what? About it is like when Zach Galifianakis goes down the escalator in Vegas, or in, you know, or he's,
oh, and
he's
Hangover,
playing the cards in Hangover.
Moving through the air and he's thinking about all these calculations.
I just can see all of the timelines just.
So you're basically saying
air.
Like I'm Rain Man, because Zach Galifianakis' character in Hangover is slightly based on, you know, Dustin Hoffman's character in Rain Man. You know, the special brother who's got to go to Kmart, got to buy some underwear. When they win the card game.
Mm, yeah.
That's George Whopper's on TV. I got to go. 3:00. Anyway. Well, see, I mean, my next thought is, like, does the audience think we're making a special fun of special needs? Or do we just admit that John's on the spectrum and you've been listening to this the whole time without even realizing it? It's one of those two, folks. You freaking figure it out. Send me an email if you figure it out. Okay.
You know where to send.
Toy Story 5. Tim Allen was on The Tonight Show recently, and he's talking about how Disney has approached him and Tom Hanks about reprising their roles. You know, Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, and what's the other guy? Woody, this pull string cowboy. I sat back and I go, do I need another Toy Story? You know what I realized, Jordan? I've watched all the Toy Story movies. I didn't even know this about myself. I was like, hold on. We need another Toy Story? I'm like, oh, I must actually like the movies if I've seen all of them.
Every single one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the creepy middle-aged guy that slides into a movie theater by himself with a bunch of kids. No, I don't do that. I don't play that game.
No, he does not.
I watch them at home mm-hmm. on demand. When only me and Comcast knows what my viewing history, you know?
Exactly. Like,
only me and the cable company knows. The First Omen, a prequel to the classic horror movie The Omen, is going to release probably in April of next year. Now, people always joke that, like, the original Omen is like a spiritual sequel to Rosemary's Baby. So Rosemary's Baby is this movie comes out in the 60s, and it's about, like, the mom who gets pregnant with the devil's child. And then, like, the baby's about to be born at the end of the movie. Oh, the Omen comes in, like, maybe a decade later. And it's not actually a proper sequel. But it's like, oh, this movie's about the Antichrist, the devil child, whatever. And it's very occulty. You know, that religious horror fervor that's, like, built up. There actually is, like, an Omen parody, though, on Netflix. It's called, is it called Little Evil? Yeah, it's called Little Evil. And it has Adam Scott, who you might know from freaking Party Down, or there's actually a really good Apple show. Have you seen this really twisted show where they like reprogram
people? I love Party Down.
But have you seen the other show where he works in an office and they reprogram you? Mm-hmm. Like you don't realize that you've been either stuck in the little town where the workers live, or you're stuck in the office complex where you don't know you've been there for like a decade or something. Mm. What is it called?
It sounds not hilarious.
Replicant. It's like a word like replicant. Anyway, but yeah, they mess with people's brains. Like, they have a microchip or they do something, and it's like a brainwashing show. That's actually, like, if you want to dig up stuff on Apple, that's not too bad. Oh, I was only going to talk about Omen. I wasn't even going to mention the Apple show. This is what happens. This is what happens on a show like this. Not my fault. Still thinking about Harry Cereal. Okay. The Exorcist Believer is going to drop on Peacock on December 1. Here's the thing. I cannot confirm or deny Linda Blair showing up as her character. I think her character's name is Regan. She obviously is famous for playing the possessed daughter in the original Exorcist. I was going to spoil it, but I actually can't because I haven't done my research. I haven't actually seen the movie, even though I thought by now I would have seen it, but I'm just telling the truth. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't. I have read stories that she does make an unannounced cameo, but I was hoping to confirm it, but I just can't yet. So anyway, I'll probably bring it up again.
Stay tuned. Because,
like, we had officially reported it because it was news when they were first talking about a direct sequel to the original Exorcist. They're like, yeah, Linda Blair's going to come back. Then for like 6 months after that, it was like, no, she's not coming back, but the mother is, but she's not coming back. She's not. But then people.com has a whole article with a Q&A with the director, and supposedly they're saying Linda Blair does cameo. Now, again, like, for our own edification, you know, our own journalism here, we wanted to confirm some of this shit, but couldn't do it anyway.
So give us, what, another week or so? Next week, you'll probably have a report if you can watch it.
Yeah, it's like days away. All right. Movie fans, if you want to stream award-winning shows and movies safely with... Oh, you can stream movies and shows safely with Surfshark VPN. Whether you're traveling, staying abroad, or you just want to explore a different culture via local content, a VPN can help you stay safe and private when doing so. So don't let anybody track your journey. Choose Surfshark for the ultimate online privacy. Get Surfshark. And let's see. I believe tonight's movie is actually Vision Quest. Now, here's the real behind the scenes. Let's go deep. Let's do some deep trivia. How long has it taken to get to Vision Quest? About 10 years. How long have we been doing this podcast? About a decade. How many episodes do we have? About 500. How many top 10 lists have we been on? At least 10. Like, do we have a single episode that's breaking a million by itself? Yeah. Like, are our top 10 episodes breaking 500,000 downloads each? Yeah, exactly. We have like almost 40 million downloads and we're just cruising right along. How many times have we talked about Vision Quest on the show? Maybe 5 times. But then I thought, did I secretly make this entire show just to eventually get to 10 years later and talk about Vision Quest?
Is this the Vision Quest to Vision Quest? Like,
Vision Quest.
you're completing your Vision Quest by this complete journey? This episode.
If we go off the air, we're not even a radio show. If we go off the air, like, we're on the air at all. Like, if we go off the air, guys, if we go off the stream, if we go off the Wi-Fi, like, if they drop our podcast on the hosting platform, we've completed the journey, and the hero's journey is complete. What have we learned along the way? That's a very good question. Do you notice that awkward silence that we left there for you to fill in the blanks? You tell me what we learned. You can't. You actually cannot see yourself if you're in this your own story, right? That's for the observers outside the story to make judgments. We are experiencing the story as it happens. We cannot figure out what the story is about as we live it. It's just a thing we're doing. Anyway,
you want to know what I've learned?
What's that?
In my Vision Quest, never say binge never. I feel like a Justin Bieber song right now by saying that.
Don't ever say you're never going to see
But yeah.
My mind is blown up. A little tiny explosion just happened above my left ear.
There's only like 2 true binge nevers for me out there out of all my binge nevers so far. So did
you actually go back and watch some of the things that we scratched out?
No, some of them that I've said binge never have been ones that I've thought the most about. Like, I would totally a couple of them. I would,
because of the oddity, why do I continue to think about something that I would never want to watch again?
That I said binge never.
It's haunting you.
It has. It's haunting me.
This is an interesting this is an interesting way to rate, like, to think about the critique of the movie, is if a movie makes you think about it, even though you didn't like it, it's still got a reaction. What is a movie's job? Like, get a reaction. Doesn't positive, negative, that stuff doesn't really filter the equation. You've got some, you stop the scroll, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You got somebody who's very busy, has a life, to think about something for a minute or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then it's mm-hmm. profound. It could not be a binge never because it made you stop and think about it. This is actually like evolved binge watching hierarchy right now. This mm-hmm. is like, this is like next level thinking to the rating system. Wow. There are no, this is mind blowing. There are no binge nevers. Never say binge never. T-shirt bumper stickers available right now from our merch store. Just kidding. That would call, I mean, maybe we'll have to
call it Justin Binge Watcher. I don't know. Wow. Instead of like J Beebs, yeah, Justin Bieber. Wow. Never say binge never.
Dang, that is pretty profound. Mm-hmm. Tonight's energy is brought on by this movie, Vision Quest. I guess I should say what it's about, right? Okay.
Do it. Synopsis time.
Here we go. Okay, Vision Quest. The high school wrestler Loudon Swain, played by Matthew Modine, feels like he must do something significant in his life shortly after turning 18. Swain decides to lose 20 pounds in a short time to attempt to take on the defending state champion, who happens to be in a lower weight class, but he's also the highest ranked wrestler in the state. Meanwhile, he falls for the edgy older Carla, played by Linda Fiorentino, who provides further distraction for the younger wrestler. So it's peppered with an 80s, 90s cast. You got Matthew Modine, Linda Fiorentino, as we said, Ronnie Cox, Charles Hallahan, Robert Blossom, James Gammon, and Forrest Whitaker. So we want some best knowns here. Okay. Matthew for Full Metal Jacket, or more recently, Stranger Things, also Oppenheimer and mm-hmm. The Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. You got Linda here for Men in Black, Dogma, or The Last Seduction. However, I know Linda from a scandalous movie. I don't know. Another thought-provoking movie called Jade from 1995. Google it. Very sexy. Eyebrow raising. We were talking about eyebrows earlier. Okay. Ronnie Cox. Let's see. He was the villain, one of the villains in RoboCop. He also had an iconic role in Total Recall as the villain. He played the lieutenant in the Beverly Hills Cop series. He's playing the dad in this, which is kind of a subdued performance. More of like, but he's doing a good job because the dad's actually defeated. Like, that's one of the themes in the movie. Like, the dad had a row in life and it didn't work out. And like, that's the part of the son's motivation is to see how defeated his dad is, which I was going to bring up later on the favorite bits, but I might just mention right now, like, this happens to dads. We feel this way. We try things and they don't work. And then like, we're also trying to motivate our sons to do better than us or our daughters. Right. Cause I don't have any daughters. I have sons, but it can apply to every, mm-hmm. it can apply to either gender. Doesn't matter. Or whatever gender's out there. I'm not going to limit it to any gender. I'm just going to say children. Okay. Like, dads will feel this way at some point. Like, if they don't achieve a goal or something goes wrong in a business, like a dad will get to this point, like Ronnie Cox in this movie, but then also still try to like motivate your children to live their lives and have their own experiences. But you're looking through the lens of your experiences, right? Anyway. Now let's see. Who else am I talking about? Who's left on the list? Oh, Charles Hallahan. You might know he's the coach in Vision Quest, but he plays the captain in a TV show called Hunter, which is like a classic TV show. It's a police drama. He was on that for like more than 100 episodes. He was like in the main cast. However, this guy is super known for being a special effect trick in the movie The Thing from 1982. Like, if you look at this horror movie, he's like has one of the most iconic monster transformations. Mm. When people are getting transmogrified in that movie, like, it's his face that's cast and like made special effects, and something happens horrible. Like, he will never be, he'll be famous for what happens to his character in that movie forever, you know? Robert's Blossom, check this out. So dude's grandfather, the main character's grandfather in Vision Quest, is going to show up later as the old man in Home Alone. Yeah, pretty cool cameo.
Yeah.
He also shows up in The Quick and the Dead, which I have to think about who he plays in The Quick and the Dead, because that would be towards the end of his life and he'd be much older. Quick and the Dead is actually a cool Western with Sharon Stone. And who else is in that movie? Russell Crowe, Leonardo DiCaprio playing like a Billy the Kid type. That's a good movie. Has a pretty interesting history. We'll get to it eventually. We brought it up. It's like we haven't talked about it as much as Vision Quest before we reviewed it, but we have mentioned Quick and the Dead in the past. Let's see. What else? I'm sucking up a lot of airtime. I get it. Jordan's got a lot to say too. I was just trying to give some highlights to the cast. Oh, Forrest Whitaker. This is like one of his first movies. He's on the wrestling team. He's mostly in the background, but he plays Saw Gerrera in all the Star Wars cartoons and movies. And I mean, I know him from Ghost Dog, Way the Samurai. I just watched him in this movie where he plays like a military leader in an alien movie called like Arrival, but not Arrival 1990, whatever, with Charlie Sheen. It's like Arrival with Amy Adams.
Somebody.
Amy Adams. Yeah. One of the famous Amy's. Jeremy Renner. Runner. Yeah. 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 He plays a really military leader where they're trying to figure out why are the aliens here and how do they communicate? Blah, blah, blah. But I think he either won an Academy Award or was nominated. I'll have to fact check that at some point. I should have done it before, but I didn't. There's too many actors to pay attention to. I'm saying the cast is stacked is what I'm saying, folks. Mm-hmm. But Forrest Whitaker, well known for The Last King of Scotland, where he plays like an African dictator who's like obsessed with the Scottish Highlanders. Like he wears outfits from like, you know, 1800 Scotland, but he's not. I mean, he's obviously an African warlord or whatever, but Forrest Whitaker portrayed him. In a movie. It's pretty good. Anyway, okay. So yeah, cast is stacked. That's my point. Jordan's got some stats. Savage stats.
Yeah, stacked stats for you. So this was Linda Fiorentino's very first audition out of drama school. So straight out of drama school, she got the part and it was her future film debut. She was playing the older woman, but at the time she was really only 1 year older than Matthew Modine. The film includes an appearance.
Well, slow down. So he's like 18 or 19 in real life, and so she's like a year older. Like she's playing like
right. We can assume like
she's
that
he's
more
like seasoned in the movie. Yeah.
She's 21 in the movie, and he's only 18. So it's not that big of a gap, but whatever. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Well, I mean, but her character's supposed to play like 2 or 3 years older, and in real life, they're basically the same.
They're
age.
1 year. Yeah. The film includes an appearance by Madonna. Her first in a major motion picture, playing a singer at a local bar where she performs the songs Crazy for You and Gambler. In some countries, the title of the film was changed to market on Madonna's emerging fame and the popularity of the song Crazy for You. It's pretty cool. Matthew.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, change the name of the movie.
I mean, and this gives you the 80 vibes like through and through, you know, definitely in the bar scene. So it's definitely worth checking out. Matthew Modine said he started training 5 weeks before the film and that he learned you are really wrestling against yourself and it is about how much you can endure. He's also mentioned the sport is very brutal during a Rich Eisen interview. I mean, I think wrestling would be so tough. Also, I think they do a good job of depicting the sport, like, actually in the film, too, you know? Anywho. The movie is based on Terry Davis's 1979 novel of the same name. So, Vision Quest. Never read it. I don't know if you have.
No, I mean, reading? What's reading? I can't read.
Whatever.
You're like, whatever. No.
Moving on. Oh, man. The film.
Came back.
Sorry.
I want to read it, but I've never got around to it. So I'm just making up, you know, BS excuses why I've never tried to get my hands on a copy of the book. So
this was filmed largely on location in and around Spokane, Washington. state, USA, and used many local citizens in small parts as extras. The scene where Loudon's big match happens was shot in the gym of Spokane Falls Community College. Most of the high school scenes take place in a real high school or in real high schools around Spokane. A wrestling coach, like a real wrestling consultant, was brought on to authenticate the matches, which, again, I mentioned that I do think that they're very realistic in the movie. And then, of course, Vision Quest is considered a cult classic, having found its audience on home video and television broadcasts, but it's still going strong as a feel-good movie for the ages. Matthew Modine opened the Spokane International Film Festival in 2016 with a screening of Vision Quest. We think this is the same screening that marked the 30th anniversary, and Terry Davis was in attendance as well.
Yeah, so
that's rad.
I saw clips from the Spokane International Festival, and there's a stage, and Terry Davis is present. The wrestling consultant, who was like, as you said, a real wrestler at that time, in this Greco-Roman style wrestling, like Olympic wrestling style that they're doing, and Matthew Modine. And then, like, I was like, okay, I think they're the one in the same event, but I didn't get confirmation. So I was like, oh, I really want Jordan to include this in her stats and send it over to you. But I was like, however, I don't want to be like saying like, officially, oh, Matthew Modine and Terry Davis are on stage at Spokane if they were at a different like screening. But at some point they presented the film together and introduced it in front of a live audience at like an anniversary screening. I'm led to believe they're one and the same based on the evidence that I could find online. However, there's also another screening that Matthew Modine was reading excerpts from the book and introduced the film at. So look, every 80s kid rediscovered by 90s kids. It's a little bit harder now because there is no traditional broadcast TV unless you also have paid cables in your house.
Right.
That how are you going to discover these movies? Like, I was thinking about this recently. Like, a lot of my experiences of some of my favorite movies are the things that are sold cheap to TVs and like were shown on these channels.
Totally.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's how would, like, unless they're like Guillermo del Toro, the filmmaker, was talking about how, because all these companies are dropping distribution of physical media, like they're not going to manufacture DVDs and Blu-rays, that we have to become like human curators of media. And in a way, that's like kind of true, because like we're here on a podcast talking about movies, making recommendations for movies. And it's like people are like, when did that movie pop into existence? You know what I mean?
Right. And this like, is the media just, now to like kind of give people those sort of recommendations, where we were fortunate enough to grow up in an era where you would be flipping through the channel and you would land on something.
Yeah, we're kind of like weird time travelers. We're like, we're pre-industrious internet, Wi-Fi communications, and then also after it. So we're like, we're experiencing it at the same time, but we also have these vague memories of life before, right?
Wild.
Whatever. Millennials. That's why we can't figure out our heads from our toes or what we want to do as a generation, because like we're from two different worlds, man. We lived in different worlds. One before times and the one after times, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, this is a very philosophical episode as it's turning out.
It is very philosophical. Yes.
Bringing all these other areas out. Where are we? Okay. We just finished the Savage Stats, so to speak. And we'll be back to favorite bits after these messages. We're just talking about Surfshark VPN. You can stream award-winning shows and movies safely with Surfshark VPN. Whether you're traveling, staying abroad, or you just want to explore a different culture via local content, a VPN can help you stay safe and private when doing so. Don't let anybody track your journey. Choose Surfshark for the ultimate online privacy. Get Surfshark. Again, earlier I was thinking about eyebrows in cereal. Now I'm thinking about a shark that literally surfs the digital world. Actually, here's how Johnny uses VPNs. When I want to watch British content that I can't get unless I subscribe to certain apps, or I can't get it at all, I want it direct from the source. If you plug in a VPN and you make them think that your computer is London, and then you just watch, you know, UK Netflix or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
It unlocks all these libraries. What? Yeah, it unlocks the catalog.
Yeah, exactly. But here we at, baby, at favorite bits. So favorite
bits from Vision Quest.
My notes are a little chunky today. I don't know why I went with chunky, but they feel chunky because I like half put things.
Her notes are,
I'm sure you get it.
Whole
the
milk,
notes.
Cottage cheese dripping off of her notebook.
I thought that some of the writing was really mature. Like, I loved that about this film. You know, it's definitely takes place, you know, with a high school student. It's takes place at a high school. But they're very open about their sexuality, which I thought was super interesting and really honestly something I enjoyed in the film. One of them was essentially him like talking about the poem that they had discussed in class. What was it? Who was the teacher?
Oh, dang. Is it when he's with the English teacher in the nurse's office after one of his nosebleeds?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I wrote that down as well.
Yes. Yeah. And essentially, the poem is about how this, you might need to help me with this because I don't remember. I wish I could figure it out.
Okay, well, I have verbatim. A great summary for the scene. I wrote down, let's he's do experiencing it. Poetic sympathies, but with a boner. And he yes. actually makes a comment about having an erection during English class when they're talking about romantic poems. It's a girl, it's a coming of age poem about a girl who's experiencing the same mental state and hormonal state as Louder and Swain, but he found a way to convalesce that he understood the poem, but in real terms, in modern terms.
Right. And it's something about like, right, you can like live every single day and you might think about, you know, the day that you die and you can push off everything till that moment. But then you realize she in the poem realizes that every single day she's dying a little bit more. And he says something along the lines of, quicker but with a hard on. I thought that was so funny. Yeah, he's very smart and he's a very kind character, and I just thought that Matthew Modine had really conveyed this like emotionally gentle person who like
he does admit that he's also subject to his hormones as well of his age. You know what I'm saying?
18.
A
virgin, he's 18, you know, he's obviously like, you know, probably pumping with testosterone in an athletic event that requires you to be, I don't know, physically fit and pumping weights. And I don't know, it just seems pretty wild. And he really pushes his limits with his physical abilities to do something incredibly challenging. And
yeah,
I think one of my favorite
nosebleeds.
Parts. Yeah, one of my favorite parts about this is that he could win state, he could get championships, he could get full ride scholarships at wrestling at his own weight class, but it's like the
or
sake
fell
of
miserably,
doing,
and you don't know until the end what's going to happen to him.
Well, and he'd prefer to challenge himself in this way, in a way that he wants to fight the best guy in the toughest weight class, and he's willing to put himself through not only this like emotional distress through this like hormonal phase in his life.
It doesn't waste time telling you that that's what he's about. Like, it literally, the movie starts
jumps
with
right
making
in.
That declaration, and then you're in for it.
In for it for the ride. Yeah. And
not
yeah,
a lot of movies have the courage to do that like right away and get going. They should. But
I loved to like I talked about it multiple times how they actually depict like the sport of wrestling. Like, I knew wrestlers in high school. I had to cheer at these matches, and so it was kind of a little blast from the past. But watching some of them do some of these exercises, I thought was incredibly funny and really cool. Like, my favorite one was when they had what was his name? Cooch was on his hands and knees, and then Loudon had his legs wrapped around Cooch's trunk, and he's doing sit-ups like on his back. I just thought it was like they did such a good job of depicting the sport. So,
oh, that actually happens in wrestling. I was wondering, I was sitting here wondering tonight if this movie is the reason that I was in middle school and high school wrestling. Because
why would you not want to do the sport?
And wrestlers
movie?
Do screw with you when you're on the mat, especially if you get into a dominant position like that. That's what it is. It's about like establishing dominance and trying not to lose it, and then or submitting. Like, that's basically it. Like, your willpower is concentrated over a short period of time, and there is embarrassment involved. Mm-hmm. So if the other wrestler embarrasses you, that like screws your mental game. You know what I mean? And then you submit, you lose the match.
Like, I did.
I remember,
like,
I mean, do you want me to tell you? I mean, like, I've had people that, like, you know, they flick you in the nads. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
God.
Or obviously they talk shit. You guys are obviously talking shit in each other's ear the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of queer baiting. Like, they try to make you question your sexuality just to throw you off your game. You know what I mean? Why you're really into that kind of wrestling.
They do that a lot to Loudon in the movie, too, just because he obviously is a virgin. Like, he's never been with a woman. Everybody knows about that. There was a lot of, wrestling stuff that I thought was actually pretty cool to just make you feel like this movie was really serious about that. And it just, I don't know, it's the authenticity, you know?
Believe it or not, I can still do a neck bridge, which there's this thing in wrestling. If you master this, you can almost get out of any hold that's put on you unless you're suplexed and they win. Like, if they take you to the mat in a suplex and you can't get out and they count, they do a three count. But it's not like TV wrestling, but there's this thing called a neck bridge where you have to build up the muscles in your neck to do this. And you're on your back. It's the only way to get off your back. Like, people think you can kick your legs to get out. No, like, the neck bridge is you pop the muscles in your neck and you're kind of like, you're bouncing off the mat with the power of the muscles in your neck, and they spring your head like off the mat in such a way that you can get to like a half a stance, and then you can try to circle around your opponent. But like, in theory, it's a simple technique, but it's hard to master. But
yeah,
work on it. Like, you could, I don't know. It's very helpful.
Yeah. It's wild. They did a good job with all the wrestling stuff. I would say my last favorite bit was when he's warming up just for his very last match. Just like, I don't know. It was a good, like, just getting serious, getting you prepped for this match, no matter how it's going to go down, you know? He, of course, finally runs back into Carla after she sort of disappeared on him, and she tells him to go kick the guy's ass. So,
she shows up to see him, and spoiler alert, he wins, but he deserves it, because this kid is working the entire movie for this.
Yeah.
You mentioned another favorite bit, like how they kind of make you question, like, the question of sexuality in wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
There's actually a late night room service scene in this movie.
Right early, where, too. I was like, what are we watching?
A late night traveler who works as does he sell sports equipment? He sells something adjacent. Like, he's either like sports equipment or shoes or something.
I think it was equipment, because I think he said something like
sporting goods salesman or something. So
I have all the equipment.
If you've ever worked as a night porter or room service guy or worked in a hotel, you encounter some of these characters. So for me, like, that was a very real scene. Like, again, without having read the book, one can speculate that the movie includes it because, teenagers question their sexuality and they have a bunch of experiences. And like, what do they do with these emotions, hormones raging through their body, what have you? What kind of person are they? What kind of adult are they going to be? Who are they when they're 18? Mm-hmm. But like, running into a dude like that at a hotel, that's what happens when you work in a hotel, man. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of freaking characters, you know? So I thought that was kind of cool because it seemed real to me. I wrote that down. Then Elmo gives a speech. Elmo is a surrogate father figure. What's interesting about the character also is
he has
multiple father figures, because like, we know that his real dad is kind of defeated, right?
He has
doesn't
grandpa.
Give him a lot of good advice because he's suffering from a major loss, both in his business and his personal life, because the mother's walked out and his farm went belly up and he's just working a regular job to get by and get this kid through high school. And then so Loudon has his coworker who's like the cook for the room service at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, that cook, whose name is Elmo, gives who's J.C. Quinn. I should mention he's an actor that pops up in The Abyss. He's in Maximum Overdrive. He's in The Prophecy and Days of Thunder. So he's another good character actor. He plays Elmo the chef. And at one point he gives Loudon a speech, because there is a moment where Loudon is still questioning his confidence towards the end, is still considering withdrawing from the match. And he's like, it's not just 6 minutes of your life, kid. It's really only 6 minutes for you on the mat. But for the rest of us experiencing it, it also means something to us. And here's why. And then he goes into a diatribe about why. And it's actually like,
it's a beautiful speech.
For a movie that's, when it comes out, it's like considered a throwaway movie and who cares, but Madonna did the soundtrack, so maybe check it out. Like, has one of the best movie speeches from this era that I think is like completely underrated and overlooked. And like, go watch Elmo's speech in freaking Vision Quest.
So good.
I mean, folks, you can probably guess how we're going to rate this movie. I mean, I was so excited to talk tonight. I was actually using social media to throw up pictures of me holding a DVD copy of Vision Quest. Okay.
You could probably guess, but
our ratings. We're not playing poker tonight, but our ratings are, how do our ratings go on this show, Jordan?
So binge now, bring it to the very top of your list. Don't walk, run to your bedroom, to your TV, go throw it on and watch it tonight. Binge later is get around to it, but it's high on the list. And then binge never is not a chance. You wasted your time.
Except Jordan threw us for a monkey wrench earlier where she made us really, really, really think a binge never can't actually exist. It's like, is there a number below zero? Or like, you know what I mean?
I know. I just want to be more careful with my binge never. So never say binge never. So
I'm just like, first, I can't laugh tonight. So last week I told you I was sick.
Yeah.
Here's how, folks. I had pneumonia. I didn't even realize it. So I was actually really sick.
Oh, buddy.
But tonight I'm trying to laugh and I'm still coughing a little bit. Sorry. But, you know.
Stifle it, which is so much harder than actually laughing. But I'd rate it a binge now for sure.
Oh, absolutely. 100,010% binge now. So glad that we finally got to do it on the podcast. I don't even know. I sometimes get nervous if there's a movie that I really love and I want like 100 new people that I've never heard of it to go see it. Like, how do I convince them in so many words? Like, what can I possibly say to you to get you interested in this movie where it's like, oh, your parents are like, hey, listen to this singer, or like, hey, read this book. Like, nah, my parents recommended it. Can't do it. Like, Johnny's like, go watch Vision Quest, guys. You know, they're like, oh, come on. Just some podcaster talking about a movie from the 80s called Vision Quest. Anyway, so I'm secretly frightened. How do I convince anybody to see Vision Quest, you know? I would love to have a filmmaking class because I would bring movies like this to show you things that they haven't seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, like there's a lot to take away from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the inciting incident, you start the problem the character has to get over in the movie in the very first few seconds of the movie. That's a major point. It does also follow the thing that keep it simple, stupid. It does follow the ethics of that, right?
Yeah.
Because it shows you his training. He has the one major distraction, which is his hormones and love for this character that comes into his life. His obstacle is, well, what is it? His job. The fact that he doesn't have the support initially of friends and family, right?
Well, more importantly, the girl. He falls in love and he wants to just stop
and
everything.
And also,
to be with
the
her.
Other guys aren't going to give it to him either. Like the guy playing shoot.
Oh, no, he's not.
You know, state champion wrestler. They actually took time to ground this character in reality and say, like, this guy wants to win, even though it's like his eighth or ninth time going at it. However, I would say they also ground Loudon's chances in reality, too, because what we're forgetting and haven't mentioned yet is he's the number one wrestler at 199 pounds.
Yeah,
and then
I
drops
saw that.
Down to 165 to duel with the other guy. Because so theoretically, it's like two of the best wrestlers, gladiators fighting in this movie anyway.
Yeah, he could have gone to state. He could have won state. He could have taken everything in his own weight class. He's up for scholarships. Like, people are looking at him, and he should be just winning, right? But he doesn't want to just win. He wants to beat the best.
So that's
person.
Why he's a legend. That's why he becomes a legend, because it's not good enough just to be a top ranked wrestler in high school. He's like, on my way out the door, I'm going to do something with another top ranked wrestler that's going to put me in the books for like the next decade or the stratosphere and just be a total legend.
It's so good.
This movie will make you feel good. Like, if you're having a shitty day, your week's not going great. Hell, if your year hasn't gone your way at all, you know, a movie like this can at least make you feel better for the 2 hours or 90 minutes that you devote your time to it. That's how I should have sold it. By the way, the movie actually makes you feel better about life.
Do it for Elmo. Do it for Elmo. That speech is worth the whole 2 hours. So.
Just real quick, have you heard about the show called L.A. Law? It's also from the 80s. And well, maybe, I don't know if it lasted into the 90s, maybe early 90s. It's like a notorious, like, it's kind of like a Law and Order type deal. But it's not from the Law and Order people, I don't think. Have you heard about this? But but Steve Bochco, he's a famous TV producer. But so L.A. Law has like Harry Hamlin, Jimmy Smits, Corbin Burnson, and it's like a provocative show about attorneys in L.A. In the 80s. You know about this?
No.
Dang it. You know how I found out about this? I always wanted to watch it because Harry Hamlin would show up on like reality TV as himself. And I'm like, oh, it's Harry Hamlin from L.A. Law. And I'm like, what? Who? Like, you know what I mean? But he has a famous wife, too, who's like an actor and a model or something. And they would always show up on like these other like reality shows based on actors and TV. And so I knew about them from Reputation and like The Neighborhood, but I didn't know, like, never saw the show. Guess what? They dropped it on Hulu.
Wow.
Well, I'm like six episodes deep in
LA. Time to get into that. So
yeah.
Is that what you're doing for staff picks right now?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I realized we did a whole podcast, didn't mention anything else to watch. I was like, oh, I better pop it in real quick.
I did watch a staff pick. I won't talk about it in too much detail, but I have to look up the actual specific name really quick because I don't want to butcher it because it's the name of the person. Okay, give me 1 second. Okay. Okay, so Daniel Radcliffe did a documentary and it is so good. It's called David Holmes, The Boy Who Lived.
Oh, which is about his stuntman that got injured on like the sixth movie or whatever. On the
set, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they're still lifelong friends.
It has lifelong friends. It's obviously sad circumstance, but it's a beautiful story.
Way to bring it down at the end.
It's still...
Calm down, folks. Balance it out at the end.
Like, okay, I'll see myself out. Bye. Oh, man.